am so glad to have my house painted.
How often do you have to have it done?
Oh, let's see. I've been here since 2000, and this is only second time.
Oh, that's not bad.
You stay, Freddy. You stay. Stay. There you go.
Excellent. A napkin to start.
Might broaden the napkin. It was first class restaurant here.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice.
Let me get mine.
Yeah, now I got to get the inside done.
Yeah.
Then I'll be happy.
We did that with a bit of inheritance from my mother-in-law.
Well, I wish I had that.
And, ended up having to spend a couple of nights in a hotel. And
yes. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
I hate it because you have to tear everything out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still a couple of rooms. Well, my office, I wouldn't let them do because there's so many bits and things in there. It's like...
Same one there. There's no way am I taking stuff out of there.
No. When we move, we'll say, wow, look at those things on the wall.
Yeah,
huh?
Right.
Isn't that the truth? I don't know where all the stuff comes from.
Yeah.
Okay.
She read the whole chapter already?
On my second read.
Well, there you go.
I'm going to read it one more time. Yes. I got started last night. I was up till I don't know what time. So go with whatever you got.
Okay. I told you in the email when Hardy Myers had his judiciary stuff, where in 1981, before you got there, he did a whole bunch of things. Vic was in favor of it, but the big thing is Vic said, no, I ought to be able to appoint the Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that went to the people, and the people said, no, you can't.
Yeah, I do.
And, and then it came back, and Hardy actually stopped being the speaker so he could devote in 83 his attention to the judiciary reforms. And they went through, but then several of them were vetoed, and he never learned why. Barbara Roberts, when she was Secretary of State, and she wanted to change the performance audits instead of just the regular audits, and the governor was adamantly against that. But when he vetoed, she never heard why either. And so I was... Put yourself back in, how did you guys deal with vetoes? Did you peg things that you might want to veto if they made it through? Did you wait till they got to the desk? I mean, how did you deal with vetoes?
Well, that was going to be my question. What are they talking about? They weren't warned it was going to be vetoed?
Hardy had no idea when his were vetoed.
And did not know why they were vetoed?
No.
I don't understand that. Now let me go through the process.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Allroo was our guru on bills.
Mm-hmm.
His job was to sort through the bills every day, research them, go to agencies to make sure they didn't have a problem or there was something that we should be aware of,
mm-hmm.
Circulate it through staff, and then he would write his final analysis.
Right.
What he's learned and basically his recommendation to the governor. Sometimes a little tiny short,
mm-hmm.
sometimes very long.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would go to the governor.
Mm-hmm.
If it was a bill that was controversial and needed to be really discussed, we all would sit and the governor would call us together and he'd always lay out his opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm going to veto it because.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bob Allroo would take that and write the, I don't know if it was a memo or what it was, but that accompanied the bill, either vetoed, signed, or not signed,
mm-hmm.
with the governor's reasons
mm-hmm.
for whatever he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And that went to the bill back to be to for the records.
Okay.
So I don't understand.
Well, because I've seen some of them. We have, for instance, all the veto messages from 79.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not marked, so we may have all of them for all I know, because the way they are in the archives is they'll be listed as miscellaneous messages. And like the first one is a note from, you know, somebody saying, hey, guess what? And then you look at the second page, it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these things here. So there's the letter is to Norma as the Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
There's always I veto or I fail mm-hmm. to sign,
mm-hmm.
And then a single paragraph, which usually is a pretty good, mm-hmm. you know, here are my, mm-hmm. my issues with it. Since Barbara and Hardy didn't know, it may be that they never read those.
That's what I'm wondering, because, I mean,
those official things.
There was never a bill that went out of there that didn't have the governor's message on it.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
Every single solitary one of them. Now, we may not all participate in his decision.
Yeah, exactly.
He may have already known, and Bob knew he knew.
Right.
And Bob would reaffirm the governor's opinion and attach it to the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, unless they're thinking, could it be that they were concerned that the governor didn't contact them and say, I'm going to veto the bill and give them an opportunity?
It may be. I can ask Barbara that. I can't ask Hardy that anymore.
No, but I'm wondering if that's the problem, because the record's already there.
Yeah, yeah. And
Barbara should have known that.
Especially since the letters would go to her as Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way the governor would always know exactly whose bill it was so that he could pick
right.
the phone up and call him and say, hey.
But especially with Hardy's, I mean, he'd been working with Hardy for two and a half, 3 years.
Yes. And
so
that surprises me. That really surprises me.
Yeah.
Unless they're thinking there should have been more personal touch to it.
Yeah.
In a way, it worries me, because it's kind of not consistent with...
Mm-hmm.
And Bob was very, very good about... Mm-hmm. I mean, the bill process was as smooth as it could be every year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The only thing I can think is that they thought maybe the governor should have picked the phone up and said, hey, I'm going to veto this. Is there anything you want to say?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that could be.
Yeah, it very easily could be.
Particularly with Hardy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that with Barbara, I mean, they were more, mundane's the wrong word, but you know what I mean, more routine.
Yeah.
But if, you know, he knew that Hardy was into the judicial matters, and you'd think that he would have, I don't know.
Okay.
I know that they all had the governor's message on them, every one of them.
They're
clear reason for whatever action he took.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
You know, and we'd circulate them. My God, sometimes when I have a stack like this, and I think, I got to go through those again.
Yeah, the year when he had a recalcitrant legislator and needed to veto several things. That's when I would have loved to have been doing this project and then talked to the people in Kitzhaber's office when he was Dr. No.
Yeah.
So how'd you process all those things?
Wouldn't that have been fun?
I can ask the governor's CAPE staff to... today. So how is it not processing any of them?
Yes.
Veto anything.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
It's amazing
to
me.
I wonder if there's any sessions where that's ever happened before. Probably.
I probably have. But it speaks to me, because Kate, she was like Vic. She'd been in the legislature forever. And like Vic, she had been in the minority.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, Kulongoski, no. Kitzhaber, no. Roberts, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows what Goldschmidt was doing in city council.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them have ever been in the minority. And I'm wondering if she is learning better how to kind of head those things off at the pass.
Well, and so, it could be.
There's no way to know.
Plus, that was her first session, wasn't it?
No, her first session was 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right when she took over.
Yeah, because it had
so
started.
Enough under her wings that she should have had the courage to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was amazing to me that she hadn't beat it. How did you do with the tour of the office?
I'm going. That's where I'm going after.
Oh,
this.
You've not gone
yeah.
yet. That's right.
Right.
Okay.
After this.
All right. You
okay.
anything else?
Nope. That's it. So
I love your approach. I absolutely, absolutely love it.
Good.
And I don't know that I can articulate to you what I love about it. It's just that it's not. It's exactly what the governor was. It isn't what the governor was afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
You say it the way it is, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I mean, enough so that there are areas that concern me.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's yeah, that's good. But I wanted to just tell you some of the things that I'd maybe be better if I did it by email. But I
no, because I have it right here.
Okay,
I can write on it.
Okay, this you may not even want to add it, but I mean it's like say you came from Pune, India, to Oregon.
Right.
And I didn't know if that mattered to you or not. That may be where you wanted to style it, because they were in New Jersey for a while.
Right. Right, and yeah, I didn't, actually, all the stuff before, I just kind of, you know, there's sources there, you can read them if you want.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just dealing with the Oregon stuff.
Okay, on page 866,
mm-hmm.
First word on it is muddy.
Muddy.
Second sentence.
Mm-hmm, 866, muddy.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Second sentence, at one of the weekly staff meetings, Bob Logan, the governor's staffer in charge of working with local governors. Who was Bob Logan?
From Bob Oliver.
Are you sure you didn't mean Bob Montgomery?
Could be. This is what Bob Oliver said. So
I've never heard of Bob Logan.
You got it?
I even looked him up on the internet and I
okay.
But it was Bob Montgomery that was in
okay.
charge of that.
Okay.
So check that out.
Yes.
I figured that somebody had used that. And page 870. It's just a typo.
Good typo.
I don't know. Did you want to pick that up now?
Oh, God. If you see them, yes.
I didn't hunt for them, but I happened to. Page 870 is titled 1982 Elections.
1982. Yep. And we're...
Okay, down here. I think you meant to say they.
They were. You got it.
That's one of my favorite tricks, is exactly that one.
That doesn't make sense to you?
Well, it makes me feel better because I do that kind of crap all the time.
Yeah. I mean, in a project this big, it's amazing. It's just amazing.
I just wrote one family book about one side of the family. Nobody to edit, nobody, I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, I went back and read it after I printed it, and I thought, oh, where'd some of that stuff come from?
Exactly, oh my God.
You just don't see it anymore. I'm just doing the quick stuff, then I got some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, what have I got this marked for? Governor's office, it's 877. Felt besieged in 1982. The governor was in the middle of a hard-fought re-election campaign. The economic crisis bearing down hard. There were blah, blah, blah. And then, beginning in 19... Trade mission after trade mission after trade mission. Oh, I know what this is. Thompson was not complaining about the governor's travels, but it was significant that he was not in the office as these issues would come at them every day. She thought it showed how much
faith he had in the staff.
Oh, yeah, you make me sound like a whiny, whiny, whiny baby.
Okay.
And Jerry, I don't know. Yes.
Thinks she's whiny.
And I don't know if I can convince you to take some of the wine out or not.
Yeah, and it's figuring out how to balance. What is hard for you to figure out how to balance?
Uh-huh.
You know, you were doing the stuff, but he gave you full authority, but you're the one doing the stuff. And so, yeah, that's fine. I will work on that.
Okay.
Carrie thinks she's whiny, and I will
yes.
unwhine you.
I thought, God, did I whine that much to Jim? In that next paragraph, I've got mm-hmm. underlined, the federal mediator, John Mathis, would play a major role over the next several years.
Mm-hmm. I can change that because I know what you're thinking. He plays a major role in a negative way.
Yeah, I didn't know if that came through. You know,
and at that point, I'm just introducing a character who just shows up because Mike Sullivan said we got to get mediators in here.
Okay.
But I will play with that.
Yeah, there were times when I thought he was actually very sympathetic to the Rajneeshis, and he was not willing to stay with any game plan. He was holding their hands, which mm-hmm. may have been his job. As assigned to him by the feds. But
right, but then
problem.
Later on, he clearly is having real second thoughts about what the heck he's doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Begins to dawn on him. And the other thing that occurred to me, and I'm not asking you to change it, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong, Jim, but the other thing that occurred to me is that state police doesn't get a lot of credit. And I got to tell you, they were our soul through the whole thing.
Yeah, I don't have documents.
You don't have any Bob Watson's?
No. I mean, I have some of their reports from later on, which are cited extensively. But I don't have, you have the stuff that says, wow, the governor said get in there, they're in there.
Yeah.
But then the only real evidence I have of that is when you're going off to the meeting and the bum comes up and talks through the window.
Oh, yeah, you remember that one.
So I just don't have the documents to structure
gotcha.
And say,
okay, that's
here's
fine.
The state police, boom, boom, boom.
They were solid as a rock.
Yeah.
And, of course, I was so close to them, that's why I'm a little sensitive to it. But they were more solid for us than anybody was.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand where you're coming from. And that was just a thought that occurred to me.
Yeah,
it's not that important.
I'll put a note here, because when...
they got picked on a lot, too, by the way, by the feds, by
imagine.
The AG's office.
Yeah.
It's like those TV shows, you know, where the feds come in and take over a case.
Yeah.
It was exactly that all over again. I think I quit marking the page. Oh, here.
There's poor Bob Davis being picked on by those antelope people.
Yeah.
Page are you on?
Okay, 886.
There we go.
The paragraph.
Okay, here's an example. We're just outside Madras. Oh, it was if we're having his gawk at the Bhagwan.
Yeah. The turnaround became a place where a lot of people who would gather.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That was just a.
And that's an easy fix, just turn into many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike Sullivan was just delightful to talk to.
Isn't he a grand guy?
Yeah.
You know what? He's the one that deserves the credit for keeping the locals calm. He really does.
Yeah.
And I can remember the governor saying to me, let Mike Sullivan do his thing. Just let him do his thing over there. And he did.
Yeah.
Didn't hear from him a whole lot until toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was important, we heard.
Yeah.
We had all the faith in the world in him. We really did. I don't know that we ever really told him that either. Okay, page 888.
Mm-hmm.
Is
Paul Hanneman getting mad?
No, this is Bob Oliver, who says he was directed. He was invited, directed, rather.
Right.
But I'm not going to argue with that.
Well, but I want you to argue with it. I looked, and I never found anything in the conversations we had, certainly not in the documentation, where you said, no, we told people to stay away. So did you tell people to stay away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's on tape.
Well,
I got it.
Well, when I say, did I say, tell people, I've got to go back and think about it. But
mm-hmm.
I know that here's how it came down.
Mm-hmm.
I was told by the state police, for sure, the governor should never go over there, right. Nor should I ever go over there.
Right.
And it would be wise that none of the governor's staff went over there if we wanted to maintain the line that we were maintaining.
Right.
Don't give them attention
right.
from the governor. The concern I have here, and I don't care. I don't care if it stays in or not. If mm-hmm. that's Bob's memory, that's Bob's memory. Mm-hmm. But off the record, I remember finding out that Bob had gone over there, and I was shocked.
So that suggests no direction.
Yeah.
That's what it's... Okay, mm-hmm. that's good.
Okay.
That's fine.
I don't know who would have directed him. I would not have directed him. The governor would not have directed him.
Well, that's the thing. Only you or the governor could have directed him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no
that's
one
right.
else who could have
Mm-mm.
said, go over.
Mm-mm.
That's it.
Mm-mm.
That's it.
No.
So, yeah, that's fine.
It's neither here nor there. It's not a big
right.
deal.
Right. To me, the best part of the story is when Juan is listening to the tape and says, you guys are really boring.
It is. And I'm not asking you to change a thing. I'm just saying that just bothered me a little bit.
Right.
Being directed. Page 889.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to raise that issue.
What, the leaks?
No, Denny says, middle of the second
mm-hmm.
paragraph, I think we ought to be sweeping our office for bugging devices.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on and says that I responded, Denny, not necessary.
And that's another, it's straight from Denny. So
yeah.
if Denny's overstepping his bounds,
I'm 90% certain that I would not have said that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the reverse. I think it was, Denny, do you think we should sweep the office? Because
mm-hmm.
I use Denny a lot for advice.
Yeah.
But it's not an issue. Don't worry
right.
about it. It's not an issue. My gosh, did I screw up on the timeline dates?
On just that one.
There's two of them.
Well,
and I wonder
okay.
what the devil I did.
Well,
I apologize to you.
No, that's my job. I'm dealing with human memories.
No, but I
and going through and looking at documentary stuff and saying, wow, that doesn't match, and so how do I make it?
Well,
work?
I'm amazing that you do that. That's I'm amazed. But that may have been martini time.
It very easily could be.
No. Okay. And when I raise those other issues about Denny and Bob, I really don't care one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I just.
Well, I mean, I can easily. I mean, so many times because there are contradictory or.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For instance, with Marita, we talked about yesterday. The governor on the phone, and yet the governor at some point later says he wasn't on the phone, something else happened. And the weirdest part of all that is there's a letter from Marita saying congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
But given the international dateline, it's impossible for him to have written that on that date.
Oh, really?
So you just look at these things and I just, you just lay them out. And sometimes they get a little blurb saying, huh. And sometimes it's like, 2-1. I'll go with that one. But it's just...
You've got more patience than
those
I've got.
Those details.
Page 901.
901? Oh, you got ahead.
Yeah.
901. There's 900. 901. There we go.
The very last sentence.
Uh-huh.
Man, I sound like an egotistical you-know-what. The coronation came about because I went to the governor and I said...
Okay. Too egotistical.
I'm just being...
No, that's fine.
Not just because of the Raj. Page 906,
mm-hmm.
middle of the second paragraph.
906. Middle of the second paragraph.
Oh, I know the clarification I wanted there. Middle of the paragraph, you say, Thompson remembers that it was tough. Atiyah was working 7 days a week. Thompson was working 7 days a week, no matter where we went. The governor and I were hooked to each other with multiple communication links. I called them my umbilical cords. The only thing that concerns me there is that it sounds like we did that because of the Rajneeshis.
Okay.
We were always connected.
Right.
And I don't know if that matters either or not.
Yeah, it does. And it actually comes up. I've got another chapter on kind of how the governor's office works.
Mm-hmm.
It's got stuff in it. It also has, when Dolores got a radio in her car,
mm-hmm.
and Denny would love to call it, because when you click the mic, the windshield wipers would go.
Yeah. 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 Did I tell you my story about Nora Paulus?
No.
Well, Gov and I and Dolores were the only ones that had call numbers, because we'd have to report into state police.
Right.
If I were leaving time, I'd say, this is 9590 on my way to Portland. Mm-hmm. This is 9590 returning to Salem. Well, I discovered I had what I guess you'd call a telephone that was the size of a battery
mm-hmm.
on the hump of the floor. I discovered I could listen to all the state police calls.
Oh, there you go.
So when I'd leave Portland in the middle of the night, driving home, tired, mm-hmm. sleepy, I'd push the button and drive along and listen to the guys. And mm-hmm. you know, there was nothing bad going. I'd listen. It was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One time I did it, and I heard one page the other and said, I had called in and said 9590 on the way to Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some state policeman click in and say, hey, Joe, you know who 9590 is? Joe says, no. He says, let's open the line. So they open the line, so all the troopers on duty. Anybody know who this woman is, 9590? And they all say, no, but one guy says, no, but I think it's Norma Paulus.
Uh-huh.
Another one says, what's Norma Paulus doing out so late all the time at night? So I let them chatter with their imagination beginning to go.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, I clicked in and I said, hi, this is 9590. I'm the governor's chief of staff.
Whoa.
It was quiet. There was never another word spoken. That was almost naughty.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, page 909.
909.
Top of
it. Like my little explanatory footnotes?
Yes.
I hope they can be in the book, because I just
think
that's
every
a much
one of them.
Better way, instead of burying them in the footnote where no one's ever going to look, it says, here's something you ought to
pay attention. I love that. I really did. I thought, wow, why don't they more of them do it? Let's see. Finally agreed neither he nor the governor should be meeting with Sheila. Why have I got there? Why do I
see? Point of view, concerns I know of. What's the site on that? 268. That's Rosh Ishii timeline, so let's...
I don't understand why...
Ishii is posturing for political recognition at the cost of the governor's image.
That's
comma,
the part.
Though Dave... A comma would make that. Mm-hmm. Finally agreed neither he nor the governor should be meeting Sheila.
I think I was concerned that maybe that's a little bit strong.
Have we got to the point where, we've already had the meeting, and Dave has come out and had that press conference
yes.
the day after.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it fits.
Okay.
Because you've already, and then, you know, the governor and you guys actually have a good working relationship and things like that, but.
Here's what churns in me, and I know mm-hmm. it's only personal. You know, mm-hmm. they did a whale of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I highly regarded Dave, and I highly regarded Stan Long, and highly regarded Bill Gary and Marla Ray.
Mm-hmm.
And from a personal standpoint, though I would have written that to the governor, I mean, but from a personal standpoint, it bothers me that I'm saying that about people that I highly regarded.
Mm-hmm.
But in the heat of everything going on, I mean, I said it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt about it. And it was true. Everybody was posturing. Everybody.
Yeah. Actually, my favorite story about that is when Barbara is campaigning.
Yeah.
And where's the red?
Where's
and
the
just
red?
Says, well, the hell, nobody has, I get to wear red.
Nobody owns the colors of the
yeah.
rainbow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've never had heard that before, but I love it. Okay, page 912.
Okay.
Very first sentence, top of the line, the Dalles made it, if very clear. I think that you meant it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then One, two, third paragraph down, same page.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Donna Zajon and Don Clark. They're all running for office.
Mm-hmm.
Then you say, in their respective campaigns, Campbell and Zajon. Do you mean Campbell? That's the only time you mentioned Campbell.
Oh, yeah. Clark.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Clark. Larry Campbell. Do you remember? He just got in.
Yeah.
Young guy. Thought, I can do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Page 914.
914. Okay.
What have I done here? That evening, it's down here.
Mm-hmm.
That evening, Thompson explained to KD that there were only eight, oh, I know, this was confusing to me.
Okay.
That there were a total of 863 members of the Oregon Guard. And then you go on to say that there were 16 officers, I think it should be, of which there were 16
right.
officers.
Right.
Am I being too picky?
No, you're not.
Okay. Because it almost led me to believe these people were all on standby in Salem.
Yeah.
Put a note to myself here when on, you don't need to go to it, but on page 916, you're talking about when we're getting ready for the big secret meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a note here to myself, informed AG's office, question mark? No. I didn't inform the AG's office. It was secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, did we leave the AG's office out? And I answered my own question.
Well, and for instance, when I interviewed Bill Gary and asked him about things like that meeting, he had no clue.
Mm-hmm.
He also didn't know anything about the state police having undercover people.
Bill Gary didn't?
Yeah. And he said, that's something I would think I would have known. Well,
oh, I wonder if he'd forgotten or...
Could be.
Was he was fairly new in the role.
He was, because he'd been Solicitor General and then had moved up to deputy fairly recently in there.
Because I know that Dave knew.
Mm-hmm.
And if Dave knew, you would think that Bill Gary would have known.
Yeah.
And it might have been just, it was part of his, he was too new yet at the mm-hmm. role. God, yeah. I'm sure he would have known or
well, something. Well, because because it started so early, he was maybe even still deputy solicitor
could have been.
At that point.
Yeah. And you know,
and so it may have been an ongoing thing updated to him.
And by this point, it was also routine. We knew what we had. Everybody, Dave and myself. Bob, the governor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Norma knew. I don't think so, because we had a lot of problems with her. We didn't tell her a lot.
Yeah.
So I don't think she knew, but certainly, because we had to use Dave for all the legal things.
Right.
But I think that's about all that we wrapped on that one.
Yeah.
Because we really did. We had quite a few undercover, and they were valuable. 918.
917, 918. Go.
Against me being picky.
Uh-huh.
Third line in the second paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it starts above. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I turned the corner.
Too many eyes for you?
No. And this one, I wonder if we should say, just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I caused the corner to be turned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it struck me that way, but it's just something there that...
Yeah.
Maybe it's too strong. I don't know. Okay, and then down here to this paragraph...
But then I've got the governor later on basically saying exactly that.
I know, which was a surprise to me, but that's okay. Last paragraph,
mm-hmm.
paragraph. Katie was developed as the crucial informant among the Rajneeshis.
I can just change that to Rajneeshi informant.
Yeah. You're an easy guy. Okay. You know, oh, yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to make a note of this, but this on page 919,
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you didn't ask why you call me beloved. But they called everybody.
They called everybody beloved.
Okay, you already knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then down here,
mm-hmm.
this paragraph,
mm-hmm.
the governor's office asked for no prison time. I don't think we asked for no prison time.
Okay.
I think we were definitely hoping, and among ourselves, we probably discussed it, even with the AG's guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we ever actually asked for it.
Okay.
Oh, page 925.
Mm-hmm. See, this is so much better than when I gave the 1982 chapter to Denny, which is fine, because he's in the middle of it. I wanted him to see it, and also just kind of, it's a good thing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And so he said, oh, I just have 20 minutes worth of things. He was talking in my ear on the phone for 2 hours. It's like, you know, it's more efficient for me to drive for an hour and 15 minutes to your house, sit there with this thing on and get everything, and then drive an hour and 15 minutes back
yep.
than to do this kind of crap. Because I'm sitting there, the page numbers change because I will, as I finish a chapter,
uh-huh.
I put it into a thing, and so the page numbers all change. And so I'm just sitting there with this going,
oh gosh,
just underline stuff, and then come back to it 2 days later saying,
well, and of course, he would always have a new theory on something, too.
Yeah.
I mean, Denny does love to talk.
Yeah.
Does love to talk. I mean, I'd ask him a question in the office, and he'd be sitting in my office, and I knew I just might as well sit back and relax now, because I'm going to get my lecture.
There you go. It'll be there.
But his thought process is a good thought process.
It's a good thought process. I just would rather encounter it in person
yeah.
with this on.
Yeah. And yeah. I have to tell you, he was a huge help to me and the governor.
Mm-hmm. 925.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't say that, did I?
346. That's your interview, yeah.
Okay, at the same time, I was really having a lot of conversations with KD and federal mediator, who, by the way, drove us nuts. Jeez, that sounds awful. But it's
but true. We already have, it's he's
true.
Already, he's already
know.
Said, I've got doubts about what the hell I'm doing. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I won't argue with you on it. I just,
yeah.
you know, sometimes things that you've said comes back at you and you think, oh, God.
And remember, this is not the definitive story of the Rajneeshis. This
no.
is the story of Atiyah and the Rajneeshis.
Yeah.
I just loved all the handwritten notes from that Al took.
No, I you know, it made me feel so good to read that, too, because God love him.
Colonel Pankratz.
Uh-huh.
So I was talking with Lon, and he was saying, oh, there's something I didn't get along with. And I think it was Pankratz mm-hmm. is the one that he really, because I mentioned there's another one that's deeply involved here, too. I can't remember who it is.
Moyne?
Yeah, Moyne.
Mm-hmm.
But Pankratz.
I know, he didn't like Pankratz. He liked Moyne.
Yeah.
Moyne was this rough, tough Marine Corps type guy who got in trouble, you know, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Moyne's over there gathering up all this stuff to sell.
Oh, whatever. As long as there's no liquor involved.
Man, we put a stop to that. Oh, God, they had canoes, they had parkas, they had everything. They were going to go into business.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Here's one that...
What page does it read?
Well, it 935, but it reminded me at that point. Anywhere did you uncover the story of them trying to set the Wasco County Courthouse on fire?
Just people mentioning it. I don't have an official report.
There is a report somewhere.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I had it in my hands
mm-hmm.
at some point because I sat and laughed when I read it. It was like the Cats and Jammer Kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. If for no other reason, just to read for your own pleasure. It
yeah.
is. It. I don't know where it went. I had it. It was an official report
all
that came out of Rajneesh Puram and found its way
yeah.
into the investigation. It was written by someone else.
Yep.
Oh God, it is just hilarious. I you've got all my stuff now, but you would have found
it
now.
Yeah, I've read everything, and I've read everything Bob's word for word.
Yeah, I would
you
love
have much
to.
Much better copies of things. He had lots of things on yellow paper that were hard to read.
Bob did?
Yes.
Bob's funny. Okay, what was this?
Oh, speaking of all these records that you guys still are wandering around here, I'm going to go meet, I don't know if Kate's going to be there or not when I go look at the office, but I did interview her for the book and use a couple of things because she just adored the governor.
Kate did?
Yeah.
Really?
She really did. Because he was just like he was with others. He'd keep doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm. This needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Keep pushing. When she was Secretary of State, because he never saw her as governor.
No.
But he was like that, and she, if he were around, he is one of the people that she wants to talk to.
Oh.
So just to ask questions and.
Interesting. And I did not realize that.
But as his former Secretary of State, she's appalled that all these documents are out there.
Well, I'm sure.
And it's like, well, yeah, but. You guys in the Secretary of State's office, way before you came, they didn't tighten up on this for quite some time. And so Pat Amadeo just assumed everything would go to the archives.
Right.
So she left a desk that was full and it came empty. And other people didn't. But there was no kind of central edict from the Secretary of State. There was no law.
No, there wasn't. But we were too... I can't recite it now, but there was the flexibility to take certain things with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mine that I took were all my yellow pages of notes.
And
it made Dave Frohnmayer nervous that I had those.
Yeah.
He kept saying, Jerry, he said, get rid of them. Get rid of them. I said, no, I'm not going to get rid of them, Dave. He said, well, promise me one thing. When you're out of office, hide them in your attic or somewhere. Because he said, they'll come after them if they know they're there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, I'm out of there for a while and I'm getting ready to move down here, and I've got these boxes of these yellow page notes. And I called Dave, and he said, don't turn them out to anybody yet, but make sure your kids know that when they find those, when you're dead and gone, get rid of them.
There you go. They're a godsend for me because they have contemporaneous, you're recording things and thinking about things.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see things develop.
Really?
You can see wording develop. You can see the rough drafts of things. There's one that has you a little tiny bit, and then it's a developing speeches on the sales tax.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes, so there's notes from you getting all the ding-dongs together who want Victor O for Oregon. The hand notes, then your type notes, then... notes as meetings, and then the first draft of the speech, which has certain parts here, and then they move to here, and by the third draft, it's way down here, because you don't want people to say sales tax.
Yeah, that's right.
You want that to be buried,
mm-hmm.
And by God, the headline is sales tax!
Yeah, I know!
there's just a wonderful chronology and history of you can see people thinking,
mm-hmm.
Boy, sales tax is going to get them. How do we, because it's not a sales tax, it's education reform and all these pieces. So how do you make that work? And you can just see the process.
Well, did I share with you that he did not want to do the sales tax?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
He really didn't.
Yeah, he didn't. And from Rich Munn's point of view, while he disagreed that the sales tax was ever going to pass, he thought that actually the moment that he decided to back the sales tax is when he became a governor and not a head legislator.
Oh, I mean the sales tax campaign at the very end.
Oh, the campaign itself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They came to him and they asked him if he would put the sales tax forth, and he said no.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't support it. He wouldn't do it. And I mean, he must have wrestled with that. I think that's when Jerry Frank called him senile.
Mm-hmm.
And finally he called me in and he said, okay, Jerry, get a hold of Paul Newman. I've decided we'll put together a campaign for the sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't want to But at this point, I've got nothing to lose. And if that's what they all want, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he got involved.
Yeah.
He didn't really want to.
Yeah. One of the things, there's some great stuff, notes, but also quotes in the paper from Tom Thrupp.
Mm-hmm.
Forgotten
that
who,
name.
Who eventually says, the only way this is going to work is if the governor campaigns like he did when he beat Kulongoski.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a perfect setup for me. I simply went through and counted the events that the governor had done for the 2 months before he beat Kulongoski, and the events he did the 2 months before the sales tax. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It's about a 2-to-1 difference.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Clearly, he was not as committed.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
He wasn't. I mean, he literally only did it because he thought he was helping them out with their cause.
Yeah.
And like you said, he had nothing to lose. Funny how this stuff comes back in your mind, isn't it?
Communicating in code.
Okay, let me see my note here. Lower Park. Governor did not play a role at all. Oh, where was that? Sarasan. That's got to be at the beginning.
Okay.
He's talking about...
Oh, it's when... Yeah, that's perceptions.
Yeah.
And there's several perceptions. There's a Sarasan perception. Then there's... the person who wrote the big New Yorker article, Francis Fitzgerald, has an Oregon State University professor who says, boy, if Tom McCall were around,
yeah, right,
this wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So if that stuck out to you, I'll make it more clear that Sarasone is...
No, it didn't bother me. The only thing I wanted to emphasize on that, and thanks for refreshing my memory, but, that was okay that was being said as you picked up on the game plan, which, by the way, was a very hard game plan to stay with. But the interesting thing is how, I don't know if we did it strategically, Jim, I can't tell you that for sure, but it's interesting how only the election issues went to Nora Paulus. That was it.
Right.
I mean, we really put a box around here. The same thing with Dave Fronmeier.
Yeah.
Only the legal issues, the legal advice,
right,
the legal exercises we went through, the discussions we had, we put that box, and that's when he would step out of that box is when I would get concerned.
Right.
Vern Duncan.
Yeah, same thing. And Vern
Duncan
was very well
itched to get in there.
Oh, God, yes. But he visited.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we put a box around him only when the education environment became involved. And I, as I read through this, that all popped in my mind, and I was thinking, I don't think we ever did that strategically. We just wanted to keep it clean.
Yeah.
We wanted to know who was doing what for what.
Yeah.
It struck me strange.
It strikes you, but it's a very effective, because there's going to be kind of an overall analytical kind of chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be beginning or end or wherever it's going to be, but... All three people you just mentioned are independently elected by the people of Oregon.
That was part of our reasoning.
How do you balance the fact that they have specific jobs according to the Constitution, and yet they represent the same exact people you do, and make that fly? And it's just
And this is one of those times when we were all dealing with the same issue.
Yeah.
And I can remember the governor saying to me, you know, I've got my duties for what I've been elected.
Right.
But I'm overreaching them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't instruct them what to do. They've got their own bailiwick. And that must have been how we came down to, okay, Norma, absolutely represent your constituency with election issues.
Yeah. And did you love the Bill Gary quotes and things in there saying, what the hell's Norma doing? She's going to start a riot over there.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have to tell you, it was a surprise to me that Bill Gary said that.
Yeah.
Only because we were all saying it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't think they felt that strongly that Bill Gary would.
Yeah, no, there was a real, real worry.
Oh, she was just stirring the pot. Like.
And then when it came down to it, she was basically as meek as a lamb and doing things exactly the right way. But it was, you couldn't predict that.
No, but it was, again, that ego that politicians get, that I got to be out in front.
Right.
Everybody's got to know that I'm doing this.
Right.
Which, by the way, Victor T. didn't have as much of that disease as some of the other ones did, which sometimes was at his fault. And I told you the story about Norma Paulus and my husband's ex-wife.
Yeah.
You know, and she wanted to make a big story out of that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no end to where she wanted to go publicly.
The governor's ego, at one point when Carol Whitney was doing, I think, the Republican Governors Association, the governor came and gave a talk about, you know, things in Oregon and being governor, and he talked about my volunteers, my, and Carol was saying, you know,
hello,
that's a lot of you, but they did a lot for you. And
that's right. Yeah. And yet he was just the opposite with state employees.
Yeah.
Just the absolute opposite.
Yeah.
Give the state employees all the credit and be there for them. And
yeah.
I didn't realize that. That's interesting. I hadn't heard that story. Okay. We talked about Mathis. Oh, yeah. Okay. I told you how he was becoming sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
942. Sheila, what's that one about?
942. That's, things are coming apart then.
Oh, dear. No, no, Carly. I know, you think you're supposed to greet people. Hi, Jimbo.
She left us here. She came to the door, but she didn't want to bother you.
Oh, bless her heart. I told her I was with... Vicentina's biographer.
Oh, are they still here?
Yeah.
Okay.
We gotta finish up.
One of those minks that little wrap belonged to Mike's grandmother.
Oh, really?
And so I took it over and gave it to Anne.
Oh, did you?
It has the grandmother's initials.
Sure. Those days, that's what they did. How nice.
Yeah. So she went. Nice. Okay, I'll see you later.
Thank you, Jim. You got a haircut, didn't you?
How can you tell? Hi, Jim.
Jim Sheehan, this is Jim Moore.
Hi, Jim.
Pacific University. You've seen him on TV a zillion times.
I have.
Oh, well, there you go.
Fun.
He's the one that's writing Governor's biography.
Okay. So, you know, you need a ghostwriter? She writes everything for me.
That's good.
No, he's pouring it out like you can't believe.
So are you a professor?
Yeah, at Pacific.
Okay, well, can't hold that against you. Boxer.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, so were they boxers when you went to school?
Well, I didn't go to school there.
Oh.
They've been boxers since like 1902 or 1905?
No. They were something else when Fenton went there.
Well, they became unofficial boxers, but they were Badgers.
Badgers. Yeah.
There you
they
go.
Were.
There you go.
But they made an official switch, but they started talking about them as boxers. Long one.
All right, it's good to see you.
Yeah.
Right.
Talk to you later, Jim. He's working on we're trustees of a big estate.
Mm-hmm.
And before the gentleman died, I said, I want out of this. He was an alcoholic, a druggie, but boo-coo money. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the Gerlinger family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where it came from, uh-huh. And that family's just rolling in it for generations now, all because they invented that lumber carrier,
mm-hmm.
Plus they owned a lot of businesses here in Salem, but they've all become alcoholics, druggies. Isn't that sad that happens to new generations? And the reason I'm involved is his wife was my best friend,
mm-hmm.
who died of ALS 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, page 942. What?
942.
I do have a mark there. Grand jury indicted Bhagwan, Sheila, six others with a conspiracy to evade the mission. They grew from the event that weekend. Oh, I know what it was. This is a question to you. You made mm-hmm. me curious. That weekend, two Lear jets flew from the ranch and hopscotched across the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a problem. But later on it says...
Does it say three?
No.
Okay.
It says two here, but this isn't the... But this made me think of another, somewhere else, you say they landed in North Carolina and
mm-hmm.
preparing to take another jet to go to Bermuda.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew that. I thought they were taking their own jet. They stopped to get refueled and...
Yeah, that's a document in there, but I'll double check it.
not that it matters.
Yeah.
But that's why, of course, they would have had to stop anyway. But right. my information was that they were stopping because they had to refuel.
Right.
And they were on the tarmac.
And it may have been, I meant to say, another leg instead of another jet or something.
Oh, okay.
Like
that. That's. I think that's farther back.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end, very end.
Right.
Not a big deal. Okay. 9:33.
Yeah, no, it says made another arrangement. 4:45. What's the footnote? It's from Francis Fitzgerald. So I'll just check. I'll just double check.
Okay. Okay, page 9:33, and I've got, wow, W-O-W, what in the world, what kind of note was that?
33, I just enjoyed listing, not necessarily names, but all the different people at the meetings.
I know, isn't that incredible?
Yeah, you guys wanted a secret? Guess what?
Yeah, yeah. Now, none of you leave this room and talk outside this room.
Unless you're the Attorney General.
Within 30 minutes,
right.
They were going at it. I don't know. Something on page 9:33, obviously.
Disconnecting tents, weekly meetings.
I think.
This is what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
Frommeyer's there for that. Norma's doing that.
Oh, I know what it was. In my mind, mm-hmm. I'm thinking, God, Jim's good. As I read this stuff, how you put it together, that's what it was. That's why I wrote, wow. It is incredible, Jim. It really is.
So one of the fun things about this, my department chair has read this chapter because he's a specialist in suppression of dissent.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so much where you could see why you might want to suppress, where the governor said, no, we're not suppressing anything. There's just a wonderful stuff in here. But because of that, he said, do you have a shorter one? So my shortest and first chapter that I wrote was the unitary tax.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a 20-page chapter.
Uh-huh.
And so we now give it to our juniors so they can see how to layer stuff. And then I come in and talk about how I write this stuff. And my process is going through and I find kind of one or two sources. Oftentimes it's the newspaper thing. I think I started out with Francis Fitzgerald was the very first thing.
Uh-huh.
So you lay down a framework. And then you go back and say, okay, so what did the governor say about this? And there's all these things. You layer those in there. I've interviewed Jerry on this. You layer that in there. So by the end, you can't tell what the first one is.
Yeah.
But it's just all layered in there. And so you saying, wow, Marita does this as well. She says, how did you put this together? It's, well, because I've got 47 sources, and I go through every single one to layer it in and put it in the right spot. So you can say, wow, this person said this, this person heard it, this is where it was reported. You would never find those, but I found them. And they're all right next to each other, and that's how it works.
Amazing. I'm just fascinated with what you're doing. I really am. It's
a ball.
Well, and you know what else? It makes me hurt that the governor's not still alive. He may have gotten your way. He may have started saying, well, I don't know, I think
well,
we need change
this. Well, in which case,
this,
I have him on tape very clearly saying, I will not get in your way.
I know, but I would be willing to bet
you.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
But it really hurts that he's not here. I just know how pleased he'd be. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there's several things. You know, there's stuff about the family that he didn't know that's in the first couple of chapters. There's stuff about the family that the family didn't know, but he did know.
He knew it, but they didn't.
His dad had a first wife.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And the family discovered that in 2011. And lo and behold, it's in 1993. He's talking about the first wife.
Oh,
he even has her name right.
Oh, yeah.
And I found it because I had this giant newspaper archive. And I just put through a TIA from 1898 on. And lo and behold, when George marries Victoria, they travel across the country and stop in, like, Peoria, Illinois, at her sister's house.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little thing in the paper.
There was something in the paper.
In the paper.
In those days, they used to put
course.
Every little thing.
Well, you betcha. You betcha. But it's all of a sudden, well, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And we don't know how she died. There's a couple of hypotheses. But,
and then he wrote home and said, find me a wife.
Well, that's what he did in 1919, 1920.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's that's an arranged marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from Donna Campbell, who lived with Linda during World War II.
I did not know that either.
And so Linda confided in her a lot.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And
wow, what a gold mine, huh?
Yeah, and so, and Donna, I don't even know if Donna is still with us. I think she is, but...
Yeah, I think she still is.
And she's still, because she's the last one. Well, except, no, because Karen is still alive, the...
That's Ed's right, wife. Ed's wife.
Mm-hmm. But she wasn't part of that, Karen wasn't part of that Washington Mm-mm. school group. But Donna was just kind of... She things so like the Jim Campbell thing. My husband always said that there was this important thing that he'd done,
but she didn't know what it was.
And I'm thinking, I think that's the raid.
She didn't know what it was.
No, and because she's her memory is recursive. So
plus she also was a woman in the era when
it's not her job; it's her husband's
right.
job.
Right? Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Yeah. I always liked Donna a lot. Yeah. In fact, her daughter worked for me at the insurance company.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, we've got about 3 more minutes.
Well, I think I'm done.
Okay.
Except I can't find my page 942.
942.
I've got a note here.
We just had 942.
My note says page 942, Sheila.
Sheila.
What did I do with that page?
We were just on there.
Yeah.
Sheila, that's when she's indicted. We were just talking about that page. 942, 44. I will often turn them the wrong way when
I'm doing
like
this. Well,
I do
too. But I'll be dipped if I don't know what I did.
That's got the cool little story about Mike Sullivan calming the people in Madras when these people with little tiny waists are running around town.
Yeah. I think I know what this is coming strictly from my memory, but
mm-hmm.
as I was reading it, all of a sudden we're talking about the Bhagwan being arrested and how almost simultaneously Sheila and her henchmen were being arrested over in Germany.
She scoots in September.
Right.
The Bhagwan starts singing. The
big time.
The indictments happen more or less at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then her getting... They figure out where she is or something, but I'll make that more clear because it's later.
Well, did you talk? You may not want to put it in the
mm-hmm.
book. I mean, that's but mm-hmm. you know their escape and their arrest was always fun for me.
Mm-hmm.
And did I not tell you that story?
You told me, and you told me I couldn't use it when they were telling you the code words they were trying to come up with.
The singing beer stein.
The singing beer stein.
I wish I could remember who in the AG office.
Yeah.
Sat in my office, and they were conjuring this up. I wish I could remember who it was.
Yeah.
Because it was so funny.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of that stuff, but you told me I couldn't use
okay,
those stories,
yeah.
And that's fine.
Well, that one is,
that's,
you know,
it's like that story, and then the next one was the people from the AG's office mooning the Rajneeshis.
Yes,
going
that's
by.
Right. We did. I remember that conversation. Well, I'd love to use that beer stein one just for a little bit of levity, but there's no way to verify it. What I don't know is if they really ever did use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it sure seems to me they did
yeah.
in the back of my mind. But
yeah.
memory gets bad, Jim. Oh, God, it gets bad. The older you get, the worse it is. Jim, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am going to read it one more time.
You're good? Good? Yeah, anything substantive?
I know that was all just insignificant and little nitpickers,
no,
but...
That's great. Because, as I told you, it's hard to find people who will do more than typos. And...
I got to get you that guy's name, too. I told the...
Yeah, yeah.